The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
The Mayor of the City of Greater Geelong is on the line, Stephanie Asher. Good morning.
Good morning, Mitchell. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being on the program once again. First of all, the state budget fell last week. What were your thoughts on that?
Look, I think generally speaking, it was reasonably positive. We didn't get the big ticket item that we were all looking for, which of course is the Northern Aquatic and Community Hub, but that's not to say we won't stop lobbying. But I think the fact that it was focused on COVID recovery and sort of grounded in assisting people was a good thing.
I was talking to Simon Ramsay, former MP, about this yesterday, and he's a very keen advocate for the project. But is it possible that maybe we overstate how much the community wants it? I'm guessing if the state government didn't fund it, that they'd looked at their own research that perhaps suggested that maybe it's on as big a vote winner out that way as we thought.
I don't know that they need to fight that hard for winning votes, do they, out there, Mitchell? I think that might be part of the problem. But it's certainly, they've had the business case since 2017, so there was a little bit of stretching of the truth that went on in some of the conversations about that. They definitely have had a business case from the City of Greater Geelong since 2017, and it is a robust business case, and we've also put in $800,000 to ensure that the project is shovel-ready by April 2021. So it is in a really good position to be ramped up from a lobbying perspective, and we look forward to doing that.
Was John Aaron suggesting, I mean, I think he said there was no business case, but was he suggesting that maybe it should have been shovel-ready?
I think, well, it's certainly shovel-ready by April next year, and there were plenty of projects, I think, that were in the state budget that aren't shovel-ready. So we know that that's one of the, certainly one of the winning moves in having a good, strong case for funding. So we've got onto that and addressed their concerns there. So good.
More broadly, what's the relationship like between the state government and the council?
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, as a new council, we've only just really started again. So we've had our first meeting with our local MPs, which we have fortnightly. Every Friday fortnight, we all catch up and talk about local topics and answer any questions and raise any issues, and that's been pretty good. So, yeah, pretty positive. I think everybody's very busy at the moment. So, you know, we don't necessarily have conversations daily, but we certainly are in reasonably close touch.
And what did you make of the fast rail announcement? I saw that Bruce Harwood said that it's not fast enough and they need to have a train station at Avalon Airport.
Yeah, look, I'd agree with those comments from Bruce. And Bruce is the chair of the Stronger Together Rail Alliance, is sort of a champion of fast rail, whereas I think this has been called faster rail, rather than being a solution with the tunnel from the CBD to Sunshine, which was the big push. That's disappointing. But in terms of a move forward, I welcome the fact that there is something happening, and having another option coming out of Geelong and into Geelong is a good thing. I have concerns not only about the lack of the station at Avalon in the planning, but also the potential for there just being a single line from Werribee to Laverton. But Evan Tattersall certainly said that that's still under review when we attended the ministerial briefing last week. So, look, I sort of tend to say I think we need to focus, as well as putting the infrastructure in, focus on educating people to travel out of peak hour. And then all of these congestion issues are not such a huge issue, and the rail services that we have should be able to operate more effectively.
It's interesting that it would be in the budget if they don't know if it's going to be a single line or a duplicated track, given that that's presumably going to involve a lot more cost.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, they are working through that. And I think certainly from an efficiency point of view, it makes more sense to put two down at the same time rather than coming back and having to do what's being done at Waurn Ponds to South Geelong, for example. You know, we don't really like to have to keep pushing for duplication of tracks that weren't really thought through in the first place.
Now, when we spoke to you 2 weeks ago, the councillors were about to get together on the weekend for a bit of a planning meeting and to look at the term going forward. How did that go and what came out of it?
Yeah, look, it went really well. We have another one booked for the next couple of weeks, I think, just to round out all the things that we're committing to. But we've certainly made a good start on getting all our portfolios and areas of interest. And we've got a lot more portfolios this time than we had last time, because we are in the process of developing the community plan, council plan, community plan. We can't really align our portfolio to that at this stage, because that would be putting the cart before the horse. And we also found that with quite a tight alignment, we had really big portfolios that didn't necessarily allow certain councillors to follow their areas of passion. So this time we've put portfolios in for people to be able to absolutely follow their passion, whether that be volunteering and disability or shared trails or Osborne House specifically, or, for example, for me, the sustainability performance. So we've actually divided them up a little bit. And environment, for example, has become three. It's environment, there's climate change action, and there's circular economy. So that allows three different councillors to be able to chair a portfolio that they're specifically interested in and really drive some action.
Yeah, I saw Eddie Contell was quite keen on the Osborne House portfolio.
Yes, that's right. That means he can actually really push, he and Councillor Oates can actually can really push some progress there.
Now, dog control orders, I was reading about this on Ocean Grove Beach. First of all, to what extent does the council have authority over this, or to what extent is it the responsibility of the coastal committees?
The Bowen Coast is responsible for creating the dog orders, so setting up the rules, and the City of Greater Geelong is responsible for enforcing those rules. So the city and the council has to agree with the rules, and we actually agreed with a set of rules. We put them through the chamber in September, and it is still very confusing, and I must say I'm not particularly thrilled with where it landed. And the signage, I think, is going to go up very soon to inform people as to what is allowed and what isn't allowed. I think there's still quite a lot of work to do on that whole dog orders piece, to be honest.
So what is actually allowed at the moment on Ocean Grove Beach? Can you have a dog? Do they have to be on leads, etc.?
Yes, from the 1st to the 18th of December, they have to be on a lead. They are allowed on the... This is where it gets a little bit tricky. They are allowed between 7 p.m. and 9 a.m. They are allowed on the beach, except for between... I think it is 18th of December. I'm going to get this wrong. I'm going to have to guide people to the...
So how do you communicate that on a sign?
This says a lot of signs. I only saw the artwork for the signs a couple of days ago, and there's a lot of signs. And it's that's probably my biggest disappointment, is the community feedback was it's too confusing and the signage is punitive in tone. And I don't think either of those things have been addressed. So I'm not excited about it, but it is a moving feast, and hopefully we will work towards getting a solution. We're never going to please everybody with dog orders, I don't think, but I think things could be clearer and they could be more positive.
To be fair, it doesn't sound a lot clearer from what you've just said there.
No, I don't think I did it justice either. It is on the website, so if you have a look at the geelongaustralia.com.au website, Google dog orders or search dog orders and you'll find the latest dog orders.
Now, there was a letter to the editor in Saturday's paper about graffiti, and this has been a long-term problem, and I think it's an issue. If you look around our building here in the CBD, there seems to be lots and lots of graffiti, and the letter said, Mayor's words on graffiti not enough. So I suppose the question is, what is the council doing to respond to issues around graffiti?
There's actually a lot going on, and I understand that person's viewpoint. Everyone's entitled to their view. But the day before, there was actually a very positive letter saying that the words were really good. So, you know, there's six of one and a half dozen of another. The city has got a new app for reporting graffiti. That's one thing. There's also a dedicated team that's been put on through the Working for Victoria funding to sort of task force on cleaning up the graffiti. And they also, the city encourages people to ask any questions. There's a dedicated graffiti line, hotline to ring, to ask questions and find out how to best remove graffiti, because council can't always get onto private property. So council certainly removes the graffiti on the council-owned buildings as soon as possible, ideally within 24 hours. And if it's private property, they can't necessarily do anything about it, but they can encourage people to address it. And if it's state-owned property or otherwise private commercial property, then it's not actually council's role to do that, and they're not actually permitted to do that. So it's a joint effort, and I think the letter was calling for myself to get a group of people together, and I think the group of people that he mentioned, I think they're all very well aware of it, so I don't know that getting around a table is actually going to resolve anything. I think people need to... The thrust of my comment was people need to get active and see something, do something. So if you see graffiti, report it quickly.
And then a paper about the council budget, and not surprisingly, it's gone into deficit, as you'd expect with the economic conditions. But I guess the question is there opportunities out there for cost cutting, which wouldn't be a good thing if you're a council worker, but would be a good thing if you're a ratepayer or have to pay for parking?
Oh, look, there's definitely no focus on cutting any jobs or anybody's employment situation. There's a proposal going up, a notice of motion going up from Councillor Aitken tonight to consider a panel of councillors to just brainstorm some ideas on where we could cut some costs with some of the things that the city produces that don't necessarily need to be produced. And this is sort of low-hanging fruit. It's certainly not about impacting anybody's jobs. So, look, and I remember very early conversations in March before COVID really hit us hard, talking with the CEO, and he said, because this goes on for 6 months or more, we'd probably be looking at a $30 million deficit. So he was almost spot on, actually. But we are tracking ahead. We've forecast a $4.6 million deficit by this stage this year, but we've only hit $1.4 million. So the team's actually doing a really good job.
And in terms of the Sustainability Committee, tell us about that.
Yeah, look, the advertising's out at the moment. We're seeking community members with expertise or experience in sustainability, including climate change, biodiversity, natural resource management, sustainable food production, public health, social planning, community engagement, risk management, financial analysis, anything like that that you think you can add some value to the Sustainability Committee of the Council, please have a look at the ads and apply. Applications are open until the 16th of December at 5 p.m. So have a look on yoursay.geelongaustralia.com.au and the application form in terms of reference for the committee is there.
And a couple of interesting listener questions. One, can free parking continue after December 31 or do we not have enough room in the budget for that?
Well, interestingly, City of Melbourne's now extended their free parking. They followed Geelong's lead and introduced free parking. They've extended theirs to the 3rd of January. It's actually not, at this point, not beyond 31 December, but I think Councillor Contell has made it very clear he will be pursuing free parking as a community solution. So, yep, stay tuned. I'm sure that will come back at some point to the Chamber for discussion.
And last of all, apparently the CBD Christmas trees, which I haven't actually seen, but apparently they don't have stars on them. Is there any reason for that?
I'm not sure, but I think there might be any external bells and whistles may go missing, I would think. That would be probably something you wouldn't put temptation in people's way. So I think the idea was to keep it simple and keep the artwork by the primary school kids is the main focus.
All right, thanks for being on the program. We'll speak to you one final time this year. We're doing a special outside broadcast from Queenscliff, so we might see you down there like last year. If not, we'll speak to you on the phone.
Look forward to seeing you in person. Thanks,
Mitchell. Excellent. Thank you very much. Stephanie Asher joining us there, the Mayor of the City of Greater Geelong.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.